Hey everyone, welcome back. Today we have another special course review episode of the Singers and Dingers podcast. Today we're going to be going over the Crosby Club in Rancho Santa Fe, California. Let's dive right in. So for those of you who don't know, the Crosby Club is a privately owned country club in Rancho Santa Fe, California. It is a very challenging course with a pretty interesting history, as well as a pretty interesting, I guess, point in its life that it currently lives on. Before I get into describing the club and the history in itself, some things I wanted to outline is that I was a member there for about a year when I was in high school. My parents were members there, and so I do have experience from being a member there. I also played in the years before being a member there with some friends as a guest, and then I most recently played it as I'm recording this about a month ago. So I have about, let's call it 15 years of history with this course. That I'll be able to go through and talk in terms of context. So with that being said, let's hop into the history. So the club itself was built in the mid-2000s, and it was designed by Fred Couples and Brian Curley. Brian Curley is a member of one of the co-designers of the Schmidt Curley, I believe they're architect group. They design a bunch of courses. Their most famous courses are actually in Asia, which I thought was particularly interesting. So they have a lot of courses in China, Thailand, Vietnam, and a couple other ones in Southeast Asia as well. That was particularly interesting because there's not a lot of U.S. designs that they have that they're super well known for. There's a couple, one of them being Southern Dunes Golf Club, and then there's one Shadow Ridge, which is out in Palm Desert. But most of their golf courses that they're pretty well known for are in China or Southeast Asia in general. Fred Couples had a lot of design input on the golf course as well. Whether that be a good or bad thing, I'll leave that up to you to decide. But looking at their architecture, there's a couple things I think is pretty interesting. Is they really like to use a lot of native grasses and native lands in a lot of their courses. If you look at the outlines of a lot of their courses in Southeast Asia, even in the United States, they take a use of a lot of the native areas and a lot of the foliage in terms of the outside boundaries of the course. Not a lot of typical parkland courses you see in their portfolio. So that kind of treats its way into this golf club as well. The Crosby itself is designed basically around the canyons within Rancho Santa Fe, California. If you haven't been to Rancho Santa Fe, California, you can drive a little more towards Escondido. Once you start to hit what they call Del Dios Highway, you'll notice there's a bunch of valleys and hills and just some more rough terrain. It's not necessarily as flat as some of the land closer to the coast. This plays a lot into the golf club because the golf club was actually carved out of that canyon and that land there. In terms of the golf course itself, it has a lot of elevation change, both up and downhill. This is particularly important to note as it kind of weaves in and out of canyons. And even as you're driving your carts, you go up and down a significant amount of canyons. This course is extremely difficult to walk. It's one of those courses that has free carts at it because no one walks this course. There's no reason to walk this course. I would never recommend anyone walks this course. I've done it before in high school matches. It is absolutely awful. It's one of those courses where there might be more room between tee boxes than the actual holes, between tee and green than the actual holes themselves. Never walk this course. End of story there. In terms of the holes themselves, I think a lot of them are actually placed really well and kind of carved out of these areas really well. They follow the natural peaks and valleys, literal peaks and valleys of these canyons, which lead to some really interesting golf holes, some really interesting tee boxes, but also is, I think, to the detriment of some of the holes as well. Elevation change is really interesting, and it makes for some great photos, but I don't know if it necessarily makes for good course design. What you end up seeing at the Crosby, and this is basically my biggest critique of it, is there's a lot of tee shots where I would say that there's it's unfair in terms of how tight every hole is. There's courses everywhere that you can play where basically if you're off the fairway, you're in garbage, and that's pretty normal. But this is particularly evident in the Crosby where you might have an elevated tee box and you might have 55 yards in between, you know, right garbage and left garbage. And your elevation is about 100, let's call it 100 feet downhill. So any little draw or fade you hit is going to be extra exaggerated by that hill. And this isn't just a, you know, one hole that does this. There's multiple holes that do this, including a par three that's about 240 yards, 120 feet downhill into the wind, and typically most days. The reason why I bring that up in particular is that's kind of my biggest gripe with the course, is that while it is a challenging course, and I don't think that it's challenging, but in fair, and because I think the reason, biggest reason why I say that is it makes you takes driver out of your hand in a lot of cases where you probably should be hitting driver. The biggest instance that I'll give is, I believe it's number seven. It's a 480 yard par four downhill. There's no reason for me to hit driver there. The only thing I can do is to get in trouble. So I have to back off to about a two iron, punt something down there, and end up having, going two iron, five iron into a green where if I hit driver, I can, might be able to go driver pitching wedge because that's how downhill it is. So I don't necessarily, and that's not the only time that that happens. There's number four does that as well. Number four does that. Number five does that. The downhill par three, number 12 does that. There's a whole bunch of cases where that pops up in terms of everything getting tight. It's not one of those like, oh, you then just hit it better type of pieces. It's like, no. I think they made it challenging by trying to make everything super tight. And I don't believe that's a good way to make a course difficult. Cause it's not short either, right? It's 6,800 yards. It's a par 70. Or at least it was a par 70. I'll get that into that in a minute. So that's kind of my biggest gripe with the course. That being said, I think it's a really fun course in terms of you don't hit the same shot twice on any hole. There's good differences between all the holes. There's a par five that's about 560 uphill. There's a par five that's about 560 downhill. And all of the greens are very different. They're all structurally very challenging. And you really have to think about what you're doing off the tee box, where you're going to leave and bail on any of your approach shots, especially because these greens in the wintertime, when it cools down, they can actually make these really firm, really fast, and basically really challenge any sort of short-sighted shot that you have. In terms of the green complexes and the actual the greens themselves, hitting into these greens is actually a good challenge because, like I was saying, you can't short-side yourself, which is a positive thing. But in a lot of cases, you could hit a pretty good shot. The example I'm thinking of is, what's that, six? No, that's seven. Seven, par three, about two, let's call it 215 uphill. Two-tiered green with the tier left side and right side. There are times where if you're behind that hole, you could hit a chip from behind the hole, behind the green to the front. And if it goes basically, let's call it 10 paces onto the green, it's going to roll all the way off the front and potentially into a canyon if they shave it appropriately. So you really got to pay attention to where you're leaving spots. And if you haven't played there before, it makes it pretty tough. It's really nice to have someone walk through the course with you just so you know where you can and cannot miss on some holes. That's really important on this course. But the green complexes, I think, are very challenging. I don't necessarily think that they're 100% fair in a lot of the ways that they're built, but they are pretty good and pretty well pretty well designed in terms of like they're all interesting and different. One of the big critiques of the course has been in particular that its greens were bent originally, and now recently they have switched over to full poana. What I had heard from members is that basically what they ended up having issues with was they were fighting between bent and poana. They decided to eventually go with poana, not just because of the fact they were fighting it, I guess, and trying to keep it off, but basically they were out of money and they were struggling to keep the bent on the greens, even in the summers when it gets particularly hot. So fighting a losing battle, so they ended up moving to poana. I have no problem with that, but it was bent when I was a member there, but when I played it most recently, it was poa. In terms of the course itself has some really interesting features. Besides the fact that there's a lot of the elevation changes, there's a lot of holes that require a fade, a lot of holes that require a draw. There's some good risk-reward holes and some very challenging holes. 17 is a great par 3, very tough. It can play about 240, and the pin can be back left, almost in like a three-quarter island with some water on the left side. But then right before that, you have 16, which is about a 500-yard par 5, where you could basically go driver 6-iron into, or driver 7-iron into if you hit a good shot. But it's a pretty tight tee shot if you decide to bail out right off the tee, it's bunkers. If you go left off the tee, it's water. So you really have to thread the needle. And if you go in any of those bunkers there, you're basically taking your going forward out of play, and you have to lay up there. Overall, the course is a 74 rating, par 70. When I was a member there, they recently changed, if you look at the scorecard now, to be a par 72. They made two of the holes, I believe it was 10 and 8, par 5s. They were par 4s when I was a member there. They're about 480 each from the back tees. In my opinion, it should be a par 70. It has no business being a par 70, 72. I don't think that that's reasonable, especially if you play those holes. You would know that if you hit one good tee shot there, you're really hitting something, a mid-iron into the green at worst. There's two awesome rock formations on the course as well. So there's stories, and I've heard this from members previously, about Fred Couples when he was designing the course. They were basically carving things out, and on that long par 4 or 8, like I was talking about, they were digging that hole out, and there's this big rock, and they basically said, okay, well, we need to dig around it. So they keep digging deeper and deeper and deeper, and it kept going. And basically they got to the point where, like, okay, well, this is just going to be a feature of the hole now. So there's this giant rock about 200 yards off the tee box, which is actually a pretty good aim point now that I think about it. That's a feature on 8. And then you have this a similar rock on the left side of the almost drivable par 4 number 2, which is pretty interesting as well there. They have some fantastic views on the course. The tee box on 5 is pretty incredible. Get a good view of the big canyons and the nice houses in Rancho Santa Fe. And then you have a couple of other views like that, either on the front 9 or on the par 3 on the back 9. I believe that's number 12. In terms of the facilities are great. Clubhouse is really nice. It's a ranch style clubhouse, as most clubhouses in San Diego and Rancho Santa Fe are. The range is quite nice. The range does play, I believe it's with the wind. So if you're not used to that, that can throw you off a little bit. Their putting greens, it's relatively small. There's technically two of them. There's one at the pro shop and one at the driving range, which is about a 5-minute cart drive from the pro shop facility. Both of them are relatively small, which is kind of surprising. And they have a really nice chipping area as well. When I was a member there, they didn't have, they had just some standard, Callaway practice range balls, not like, nice Callaways, just those typical range balls. Now they have Practice Pro Vs, which I thought was pretty interesting, and we'll probably get to the reasons why later in the episode in terms of the actual history of the club. It's a wonderful club in terms of, I think it's a well-designed clubhouse. I think the course, the design is hit or miss for me. I think it's a good challenge. It makes you a better driver of the golf ball. That being said, that course angers people a lot, and I understand why. I like it. I think personally, it's one of those courses where you go out and you don't have the same shot every single round, and it's a really good test of golf in that regard. I don't think it's fair by any means, so I'm not saying that it's fair. That doesn't mean that you can't like it though. So that's something that I do want to state. In terms of the membership is traditionally people from Rancho Santa Fe area. Or there's some people from like the Olivenhaine, Encinitas sort of area there as well. Pretty wealthy, older club, generally people in their 50s, late 40s to 60s are generally the membership there. There's usually a couple of people there that are aspiring professionals that'll go and play golf out of there as well, and try to make it on the tour. But that's my general description of the club. I'm happy that I played it recently to see what the changes looked like. But now I think it's time to get into the history of the club itself, which I think is pretty interesting besides the fact of the design. So the course was initially built and managed by Troon Golf until about 2000, let's call it 2010-ish. It had a big issue with the economic crash in 2008. They lost a lot of membership. The course started to lose a lot of money. It started to go downhill very quickly. So Troon Golf ended up selling the course, I believe, to a private equity firm out of Korea, as far as I'm aware, from what I've understood about the club. They tried to cut some corners with the management of it. The course kind of got out of shape for a while. It got to the point to where, there's a lot of turnover in terms of the staff at the club, and they had trouble keeping members. I remember the part of the reason why we remember there is they had a specific deal where you could be get a preview membership there, where you'd be a member for a year. All you have to do is pay dues, and you'd have to pay initiation fee. And that's how they got basically some income coming in and potential members coming in, to the Crosby as well. later on, it got bought by a Korean billionaire. Let me see if I can find his name real quick. Korean billionaire. Crosby. Got bought by a Korean billionaire. In terms of... Yeah, I can't find his name on here off the top of my head. That pivoted the club a little bit. They started to put a little bit more money into the course. They got those Pro V1 practice balls, which I, in my opinion, I think is a waste of money. I don't know why you would do that instead of putting money into the course. They started putting more money into the course. They had a turnover with a couple of their greenskeepers and their head greenskeeper. They brought in a new one as of last year, as far as I'm aware. And the course has improved a little bit in terms of the quality of it. They still are fighting the greens a little bit. The POA still hasn't taken all the way. My guess is that they probably is probably partially because they didn't actually re-sod all of the greens. They just ended up seeding everything with POA so that the POA would take over. So there's probably still a little bit of a battle there. In terms of the Crosby itself and how it fits into the overall landscape of the golf in North County, San Diego, or Rich Santa Fe in general, if you know anything about that part of the of San Diego, there are some fantastic clubs out there that it has to compete with. And that's probably the reason why it hasn't succeeded in a lot of ways. If you can, just going down the list off the top of my head, there's Rancho Santa Fe Golf Course, there's the Bridges, there's the Farms, there's Fairbanks Ranch. There's Morgan Run. There's a whole bunch of clubs out there, and I'm probably missing a couple now that I even think about it. And all of those clubs, in my opinion, have memberships that are more stuck to the club or have more loyalty to the club than the Crosby. I don't think that's the Crosby's fault. I think it was a product of we're going to build golf courses everywhere in all these communities during the mid-2000s when the economy was good before the crash. And when that wealth started to go away, people started to just go to those courses that were, you know, the staples and the ones that people overall seem to just like more to some extent. It's harder to compete with some of those courses. Rancho Santa Fe, if you guys don't know, is a really famous golf course. They've played a women's AM there. They played a US AM there a long time ago. They've played a lot of really big golf tournaments out there. And it's a fantastic course, but you have to live in the Covenant at Rancho Santa Fe to join there. The Farms is another fantastic course as well, even though I don't like some of the tee shots. Morgan Run's a cheaper version of a membership club out there, so a lot of people who didn't want to pay those dues ended up going there. The Bridges is incredibly expensive, but it's one of the most exclusive clubs in the country. And that's just a couple of the examples there. And so when you have that sort of quality of club to compete with that area with only a limited amount of wealth, something's going to suffer. And in this case, it was the Crosby. In terms of what I think it's going to have to do moving forward in order to continue, I think it needs to stop trying to play the incredibly nice, wealthy card of like having Pro V1 practice balls, some of the amenities. Like I know they have like a bunch of like teas and water and some of the stuff. Like I think they need to cut some of those amenities. The reason why I think that is that because a course like that that has issues with the actual facilities in terms of the actual course layout, in terms of the greens, in terms of the tee boxes, needs that to be fixed first for me personally in order for me to see the value. I don't care about the waters. I don't care about the tees. I don't care about the Pro V1 practice balls. It doesn't add value to me. What I want is I want a nice course that's well maintained and has that money put into it so I can enjoy it to its best capabilities. That's what I'm paying for a membership. And when I buy a membership eventually, which I plan on not there, but when I plan on buying a membership somewhere, that's going to be my priority. That's not a priority at this club. I would not join there if I had the money to in San Diego. Frankly, I would go to a place that actually cares about its facilities. Probably the Grand Del Mar, if I'm going to go choose San Diego, is probably the best option at the moment over there. So that bums me out. In terms of the stories there that I have, there's so many, I have so many good memories there and just so many different rumors and stuff through that course. I remember there was a couple of, I guess just in terms of like the dirt of the club, there's a rumor that, oh God, what's his name? No, I can't remember his name off the top of my head. Bill Murray. I don't know how I forgot his name. Bill Murray ended up getting kicked out of the club as a guest. They have a big tournament called the Clam Bake, which is the tournament that Bing Crosby used to host every year in Northern California. did a variation of it at the Crosby in San Diego. And Bill Murray was a guest at it one time for one of the members. Apparently, he got an altercation with someone at the bar after the tournament, ended up slapping one of the members, and then there became just a big fist fight at the bar, which ended up in him getting, I believe, banned from the club, as far as I'm aware. That was a rumor that I heard one of the years that I was there. So that always is a funny story in my mind. There was always some sort of drama going on in terms of, someone at the membership, who is, a scumbag or like the typical club stuff you hear of, like, someone swindled someone's money. There's that. At one point there was a man there who was believed to be a Korean mafia member who was at the club. This was pre Korean billionaire. I don't think this has anything to do with him personally, but that was a rumor of some people at the club. There's some quirkiness, I think, to the membership and to the stories that I think make a club like that in that community that I personally miss. And I think there's something to that community aspect that I liked about that. They have a really good men's club program that plays on Fridays. My best man's dad plays in it on Fridays, and it's a really good solid group of guys out there that I remember playing with. And that's some of the same core guys that were there back in the mid 2000s when the club opened up. Overall, the course, I like it. I don't think it's fair, but I like it. The club itself, I like it. I do think they need to redo their focus in terms of what they actually care about and actually invest in some improvements on the course. I think they're missing out on that. But overall, that's an overview of Rancho Santa Fe, or the Crosby Club of Rancho Santa Fe. I hope you guys liked this episode. I'll have a link down to the actual club, their website, in the description. But if you liked this, leave a review. That always helps. Share this with your friends if you want to have some people join you just in listenership here. And I'll talk to you guys next time. Peace.